Hey everyone, welcome to Podcast Insider, and I'm excited this week because we're bringing on a new team member and hopefully one of many times appearances on Podcast Insider. Cho, would you like to introduce yourself to the Blueberry family?
Yes, of course. Hi everyone. Hi Blueberry family. You might have seen me posting stuff before on the Blueberry podcasting group. But if you don't know me, I'm Cho. I just recently graduated from University of Cincinnati, and I've been with Blueberry for more than a year, and now I'm working full-time as a digital marketing specialist. I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah, we're excited to have you here too. And this week I've dumped you into the deep end and said, go figure this out, and a whole bunch of little projects. So I'm excited about your ongoing contribution. Of course, you're going to still continue to run the social side, but you're also going to be doing a lot of deep dives into data at Blueberry. That's your background. Why don't you talk a little bit about your degree? What was your major in?
Yeah, absolutely. I am also excited. So I had a background in business analytics. So back in school, I did not really know if I wanted to be a data analyst or if I wanted to go into consulting or marketing. But marketing has always kind of like been tied to the whole data analysis part. And interning with Blueberry really helped me learn more about analytics, learning more about, you know, just like marketing, like digital platforms. And I realized that I've just been so passionate about marketing and also media production as well. So I'm kind of like a jack of all trades, but hopefully I can dive into more analytics stuff and become more specialized in the marketing science. So yeah.
You know, one thing that is the most exciting for me is, and one of the reasons why we wanted to bring you on full time, is you have this ongoing deep passion to learn and to dig in, and you're very aggressive and very smart. And we love having great, smart people working at Blueberry with, you know, this motivation to, I guess, for better words, to do better and make things better at the company. And so I am absolutely excited to have you part of our team. And so you're in Ohio as well. We won't say what city, but yes. Matter of fact, we're all going to be getting together at the Columbus office here in about 3 or 4 weeks. We're all bringing the entire team together, which is
so exciting.
Yeah. And I think you've got a little project planned for us when we're all together in person. So that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, we're here today to talk about what's going on in the podcasting space. I've got a lineup of topics that we can chit chat about. We've got some news, what's going on in podcasting news. We got a best practice. We've got some stuff going on here in with Blueberry itself. We're really excited about that. We've got a pro tip from the Blueberry Pro team. We've got a great interview as well from Kids Nuz. It's a podcast, and there's actually 4 people that are on this interview, so I'm excited about that. And then, of course, we've got our question of the week, and we'll get into that. So I guess the first thing up is been a little reported about podcast fraud, and I don't know if I call this fraud. I basically call it when people steal other people's shows. It's like they'll take they'll create a false listing, most often, sadly, on some of the free podcast hosts, and make it look like their own show. So they'll create a brand new listings. They'll call it, as an example, they'll call it Podcast Insider. They'll do all the metadata. They'll copy all our album art, and they'll even take our episodes and publish them as if their own. And then sometimes they try to monetize around that. So they're really kind of trying to steal intellectual property. And sadly, we've seen a rise and fall of that over the past year. So imagine you doing all your hard work and then someone tries to scam your content. Doesn't make for a fun day.
Yeah. How do you really know and deal with that problem if someone tries to copy you?
Yeah, you have to keep an eye out, you know, and kind of search for your show name. And I would be looking for my own show on some of these free services. to see if it pops up where it isn't supposed to, and then do a takedown and request the company remove it. There are some standards in place now to lock your podcast, and Blueberry supports podcasters being able to lock your show. And if the supporting company supports the lock, that won't happen. But in this case, oftentimes, it isn't even really a ability of someone trying to kind of like trick a system into having moved someone. It's actually a pure duplication, a manual process that there's not a lot that you can really protect from besides going back later and saying, hey, that's mine, not whoever has posted this there. So keep an eye out, especially, and it happens generally to the super popular shows. So I think an average podcaster, unless they have something super unique, probably will not run up against this, but it is on the rise, and it was reported today in Pod News, and I actually had a link in the Pod News newsletter on where to go to report for the takedown. So that was an interesting a new development that's happened here this week. Another thing that's happening is listeners are kind of getting sick of some of the ad duplication. So media buyers are going out right now and buying an ad. Let's say it's, you know, one of those meal kit delivery companies. We won't say who they are. And they're hearing, podcast listeners are hearing those so ads so much, they're getting a little bit of burnout. And what media buyers are failing to realize is that you have to buy wider instead of this narrow group of shows that they're buying, because the audience is non-duplicative, largely across large numbers of shows. So what it really seems to be happening is that ad load is, number one, too high. And number two, they're doing it on too narrow of a show selection and a lot of duplicative audience, sadly. So they need to go a little wider. Have you heard the same ad across multiple shows before, Cho?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
So what's your reaction when you hear the same ad, maybe a host read on multiple shows? Who do you choose to support if you decide to react to that?
Probably like the host. Like,
but if you have a favorite show, would you say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and sign up for the service there? But you know, it's actually, but it doesn't it seem like you'd like to have more variety in ads?
I would choose the host I like more, but a little bit biased, but I've done that before. I've had podcasters that promoted like two of the same services regarding to like photography and like photo stock images. Actually, it's on YouTube, but I do not remember the names of the YouTuber. But I remember watching the YouTube and understand how to apply video effects from one YouTuber more than the other. Like the way that they explain it is much better, right? Even though they promoted the same thing. So I went with the one that I understood more, and the video was much nicer. So maybe I would do the same thing with podcasts, but I don't know. It's a little bit hard, especially if you like them equally. But
right.
Yeah.
It makes sense. But anyway, one of the articles that came out this week was really, really fantastic. And it's something that I talk about on a regular basis. And it's about, it was from Steve Goldstein. And Steve talked about visualizing your audience. You know, we're sitting here, you and I are talking, and we have listeners listening. But, you know, in all honesty, do we really truly visualize? And there was a great website that I found that it gave an example of this. It showed you 50 people, 100. It actually showed that size of an audience, 1,000, 10,000, 30,000. And when you get into these 30,000 numbers, you're talking about small football stadiums, or, you know, you get up to 60 or 100,000, then you're talking about like maybe the University of Michigan, the big house, going to that football field where they can hold 100,000 people. So if you're podcasting, you say, oh, I'm not reaching very many people, and it's 100. But if you can visualize 100 people sitting in front of you, I think your perspective changes a little bit on how you talk to them and how you, well, have a tendency to more respect their time.
And that's so interesting. Yeah. I think that it would change drastically. For me, when I record an episode, recently I started something new. I'm just experimenting. And the way I think of my audience is just my friends, because I like my tone and voice to be friendly, and my target audience are people of my same age, because the show is more about just like my experience as someone who's just graduated from college and, you know, my age. So it's weird to kind of think of, I have a big audience of me. Actually, when I podcast, I like podcasting because I feel like I'm hiding behind a camera or mm-hmm. a mic. So I don't have to face the stage fear when I'm on the big stage, right. You know? But that is an interesting perspective. Like maybe the way I speak to them will change. Yeah.
But at the same point, even though you're visualizing that there's 100 or 1,000 or whatever the number may be, you also have to continue to understand that you're got a personal relationship with them because you're really most often plugged right into their ears. You know, they're listening to you via earbud. And so even though you are visualizing 100 or 1,000 or 10,000, you really need to balance that with the understanding that you're, at least in podcasting, that you're talking to one. Mm-hmm. Often on YouTube, I'll see people that address their entire audience. And I understand that. It feels more like TV. But I think that in podcasting, we have such this intimate relationship with the audience that we need to remember that, you know, we're really deep in their head, you know, from an earbud stand. Now, some people might be listening on smart speakers, or maybe they listen to us on YouTube or wherever they're catching mm-hmm. content. But I think that we really have to, if we visualize that, then what it really would do is, I think it'll make us all better content creators. Because if you go talk to, let's go to Rotary or something like that, and you're talking to 50 business people, you're going to prepare maybe a little differently when you're going to be directly in front of them versus, you know, just doing something off the cuff. And that's one of the reasons why we do it with this show. We do a preparation of what we're going to talk about in the content. We don't rehearse it, but at the same time, we kind of have this flow and understanding that we should respect people's time. And right. So it's, you know, I think that's in this article, I was talking with my co-host on my other show, and this is something I tell podcasters all the time. So Steve's article was spot on. And I think it's probably, I would consider it the article of the day for people to go read to get this realization. Then just do a Google search for audience sizes, and then you can get a visual representation of, you know, what 1,000 people really looks like, or 100 or 500. It really is kind of eye-opening, the density. And when you see those many faces really kind of looking at you through a photo, you're like, wow, that's who I'm really reaching. A little bit more news here. Blue Wire, a sports podcasting company, has raised $2.5 million. So it looks like they got a little investment there. And they're looking at profitability for the first time in 2023. It's a great article on a former journalist making the switch and creating an entire company devoted to podcasting. We see a lot of people doing this. So it just shows you that there's infinite possibilities in podcasting. I think this is probably the fourth or fifth podcast sports network that I'm familiar with. You know, you've got the biggies out there, of course, but I think these little sports podcasting networks can bring fresh perspectives. So we'll have the link up in the show notes on that. I want to move to best practice. And this is really kind of related to our announcement about our media kit, but I thought I would, you know, do the cart before the horse here. In preparing for advertising, what do you as a podcaster need to do to prepare for advertising, and what will you be expected to provide to a potential advertiser? And I just really have kind of the top four things in this list. And it's really the average episode download over a 30-day period for a single episode. You know, what's that average? Is it 500? Is it 1,000? If it's 10,000, how many downloads does that episode see over 30 days? Now, I want to preface this with, if you're doing a deal that might be a host endorsement, maybe it's a product that you're going to be endorsing, direct response. These are the type of questions you're going to get asked. Now, if you're doing a custom deal, let's say you're a neurosurgeon and you're going to be talking to a pharmaceutical, maybe it's not such a big deal how many downloads you have per episode. Maybe it's more important who your audience is. Mm-hmm. So you need to know both of those, have to understand both those dynamics. How many episodes you're producing a month? How long have you been podcasting? Are you new? Are you 6 months? Are you a year? Have you been consistent? And is your content brand safe? That's a big thing. We had a big conversation about that recently with the upcoming announcements we're going to be doing for programmatic. And you were on that call where we're talking about
right. Brand safety.
Because advertisers do not want to hear something that would cause their brand damage. And that could be obscenities. It could be content topics that are maybe adult in nature. There's certain things you have to be careful and be able to disclose to an advertiser the scope of your content. Do you get into controversial topics? Do you have things that make people maybe raise one eyebrow and go, but the main thing is your content safe for a brand to come in and say, we want to sponsor you and we want you to represent our product so that they don't end up on some campaign, potentially having some protest done against you. So those are really the kind of the four things. Can you think of some other things that advertisers, podcasters may be looking to answer to potential advertisers?
Yeah, there are different factors. Like you said, number of episodes that you produce per month is important. But like if you are a brand new podcaster, like you're a newbie, and you maybe just want to, let's say that you want to look for a guest for your show on the next episode, I say the Media Kit is a great tool because you have your artwork there, your bio, and then your social media, as well as the average duration. Do we have duration on the Media Kit, right?
Yeah. Not on the Media Kit, but duration is also important. Is your show an hour, 2 hours, and where will my placement of my ad go?
Yes. You know, the guests will also know, like, am I a good match for this show? Like, is it something that I can you know, see myself going in and talk about this topic and that topic? So I think it just overall is a really nice tool for people to see who you are, but not just like, instead of just sending them an email or like sending them a business card, it's like a little portfolio that people can actually visualize.
Right.
And it does show data that can really impress your advertiser, sponsor, and future guests. So you can choose whatever data that you want to show. But yeah, would you have any recommendation for newbie who just started their podcast and maybe have like 10 episodes so far or something like that?
Well, I think, you know, for it's never too early to be prepared to have an advertiser. It may be too early to actually have an advertiser, but I think it's good to be prepared really pretty quickly out of the gate for any show. And you're talking, you know, you talk a little bit about the Media Kit that we've announced. And I'm just so excited about this particular product that we've introduced all paid Blueberry stats and hosting customers. And it really leads into our Blueberry news. I think that we've got a sample for those of you that are watching live. We got a sample up on the screen of the Podcast Insider. And, you know, full disclosure here, this is real data. This is not something that was made up. This is a page that actually is a living document. It refreshes every 24 hours with the newest information. And what we have put together for podcasters to be able to create is the option to include all or as little of this data as possible. So, you know, we've basically turned on everything, and some podcasters may not be comfortable in showing average downloads for recent episodes, or maybe they don't want to show their last 30 days of total download data. So they can turn this data on or off within the document. But what we have is really the show name. We've got who is it hosted by. We've got where it's available, when the show started podcasting, a little bit of a bio,
an website.
Email address, telephone number, if you so choose to put that in there. Again, you don't have to include a telephone number. And then we have social media data. Basically, you know, what's your Facebook look like? Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Our TikTok numbers at Blueberry are a little low this time. So make sure you go over and follow us on TikTok. Joe would appreciate it.
I really appreciate it. There will be more TikTok content and more reels coming at you on podcasting tips and also some fun ones.
Yeah. So, and even our YouTube numbers. So we're going to be working on our YouTube channel quite a bit in the future. But again, and all this is verifiable because people can actually click on the Twitter link or the Instagram link and go to your page and actually see, you know, that you put the information in correctly. So it's complete transparency. And another thing with this data that we're putting in the Media Kit is that it is updated from real podcast stats. So you are essentially showing off certified podcast metrics that cannot be manipulated. And again, this updates on a daily basis so that you get a refresh of what's your numbers always. You know, when I was creating a media kit for my personal show, I was spending literally $300 every 6 months to have a document put together that once it was published, it was already aging. The document,
that's a lot.
It's a lot, but I was not a graphics person and I really didn't have a clue on really what to put in and keeping that document current, I paid someone again every 6 months, another $300 to update it. So your price is going to vary. And if you have your own skills, you can put your own document together as well. And there's a lot of great tools to do that. But this is easy. We include it, we give it to you, and again, you can show what you want, not show. But we've been telling podcasters that listen to this show for a while, do your audience survey. Mm-hmm. And the way the audience survey data is incorporated into this media kit, we give you the audience demographics, including identity, men, women, non-binary, other age groups. We've got education, we've got unemployment, we've got information about family, housing. So there's really the base demographic data you need to show who your audience is to a potential guest, to a potential advertiser. There's lots of things you can share this with. And I think the thing I'm most excited about this is this is all built automatically from data that we have provided for podcasters to help them publish, analyze, and grow their shows. We've been doing a little research. We're the only ones in the podcasting space that have done this to the extent that allows a podcaster to have a media kit that is basically fresh and live every day. So I do want to make one caution, though. This is a public URL. So if you share this socially, people will be able to access this and Google will likely index it. But if you share via email or private message, then more than likely it will not end up in a search index. But it is, you are able to turn this document off as well. If you want to disable it, you can turn it off so no one can see it. And again, you have the options of which data to show. I think this is one of our bigger ones in a while for us. Yep. Giving stuff to content creators.
I'm really excited as a content creator too, because we built that audience survey before, and now that we have this media kit, I feel like that ties directly to, you know, the media kit, because like you have the stats on who your audience is, so you understand your audience better, but now you also have a chance to like leverage that tool to show people who you want to collab and work and, you know, advertisers.
Yeah.
So you want to use that stuff and you show people, and those will give you the credibility because this data is validated and is populated by Blueberry.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. And the coolest thing, because I know for me, I like design and I normally just go in and build my own portfolio. I have my own website on, you know, for different projects, but sure. the most hard thing is that you need to go in and like update things. Even like with portfolio, you have to come in every year, add new things. So this is like a little portfolio for podcasters, I feel. And you don't need to go in and update and put in different numbers like every 6 months, like you say. It's a lot of work. So we did the groundwork for you.
Yeah. The social numbers, you do have to manually update the social numbers, but that everything else is information that gets updated automatically. And one thing that is exciting about this leads into really the next opportunity that we're about ready to bring to podcasters, and that is our programmatic advertising opportunity, is where every podcaster, that doesn't matter how small or large their show is, they're going to have the ability to get advertising on their podcast. We've already got nearly 300 shows that said, yep, we want to do this. And we're excited to be able to turn them on soon. We're starting the beta testing. So I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that in a few short weeks, we're going to be ready to cut this loose. And again, those of you that are sitting on the fence on whether or not to jump on the programmatic advertising piece, you can turn this on and off anytime. You can turn it on and you let it run for a week and sample it and see how it sounds. And if you're not in line with the advertisers that are being presented on your show, you can turn it off. But what it really takes is it's going to be about 6 weeks for shows that are brand new really to be ramped up, because what we're providing is we're providing information to the 65 different ingestion sources of advertising, giving them the information on these 300 shows that are going to be coming and say, here's their feeds, here's their shows, here's the information that we have, so that they can start portfolioizing this out in order to reach that goal of about 80% fill rates. So in the beginning, things will be a little bit slower, but as time goes on, as more ingestion partners decide to add a show into their portfolio of availability, then it's going to be really dynamic. And the beauty here is the partner that we have that we'll be announcing has a huge swath of partners that are basically feeding into their engine that will allow podcasters at Blueberry to monetize their shows with literally doing nothing but flipping a switch. And you're going to provide us a couple more information. You're going to provide us your name, your PayPal address. We're going to ask you for what country you're in, and also your source language, and that information will help feed the information back to these ingestion partners. So I'm really excited about that. With that, Joe, we've got the Blueberry Pro Tip from Toby. I'm going to play that, and we'll see what Toby has to say. It says, should I join a podcast network? And this is a follow-on from last week's episode.
Hi, it's Toby Goodman here. As podcasts grow in popularity, you will hear more and more about podcast networks. Podcast networks are groups of podcasts that should have the same theme, which essentially means that when they're grouped together in a network, a rising tide lifts all boats. But sadly, this isn't always the case. From the newbie pod curious to the experienced podcaster, the whole idea of being part of a network is incredibly exciting. There are fewer things than what feels like an exclusive invite to join a group to give us a feeling of validation. But these days, it's highly likely that if you've published just a few shows, you'll be invited to join a podcast network. And today I'm sharing what that could look like. If you're being invited to a podcast network early on in your podcasting life, or perhaps before you've even started, beware. We all have to start somewhere, but if you have no real form as a podcaster yet, these invites are likely to be from nefarious network owners. Here's how an invite might unfold. Number one, they will tell you they love your content, but they won't be specific. Number two, they will tell you about their network of X number of shows with X number of listeners, and probably include a top X percent of podcasts in the world stat to really impress you. Number three, they will invite you on a call to talk about the exciting possibility of joining them. On the call, they will talk about reach and listeners, and at some point let you know it will cost you X amount to cover the production costs. Then you can be part of the gang. While this could be okay, I'd encourage you to ask some additional important questions. For example, what is the theme of the podcast network? The narrower, the better. We help great podcasters grow might initially appeal to your ego, but it doesn't actually say anything. Whereas we support parents of mixed race children is super specific and shows a very clear theme that could be a perfect fit for your podcast. What is the motivation of the podcast network owner? Are they building a network because it's their actual business? My good friend Brady Sadler does this with a music-themed podcast network called Double Elvis. An invite to that network is genuinely exclusive and exciting. One of the big things you must consider is advertising. The obvious benefit of joining a podcast network is that you could receive revenue from sponsors. But please dig a little deeper. Your podcast about eating meat-free is going to be seriously undermined if you find your network owner has sold ad space to a chain of beef burger joints. Get clear on how exactly the network will operate and if you'll have a say in what ads are placed on your show. You should also look closely at the company you're in. Who else has shows on the network? Are your values aligned? Are these people your competitors? Does that matter? What's most important is the question of your ownership. Are they building a network to sell to someone else? Would you be part of that sale? One of our regular referrers is a top New York lawyer who hires our team to untangle podcasters from nefarious networks that try to steal content and brand it as their own. Ask these deeper questions and you could end up saving yourself massive legal fees. So when it comes to ownership, check the agreement. Owning your RSS feed means you own your show. If you don't, you could lose everything. That means owning your hosting subscription with an established hosting company that will keep your show safe. If you're happy not to own your show, the benefits of being in the network must be worth it to you. And if that's the case, just like TV networks, they should probably pay you to host a show. If you're asking yourself if you should start or grow a podcast network, stay tuned for the next installment. And if you're joining or starting a podcast network, a well put together show or shows are essential. If you'd like support with that, the Blueberry Pro team are here to ensure your podcast both sounds beautiful and is secure.
A lot of great advice there by Toby on joining a network. And we've seen it all throughout the years. And sadly, sometimes podcasters lose their shows and lose control of their shows because they've joined a network that is not really on the up and up. Asking lots of questions, having those legal contracts reviewed, like Toby said, is super, 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 super important. So Toby, thanks to that Blu-ray Pro team. Any takeaways, Cho, from Toby?
Have your own RSS feed. And all the great things that you should consider before you join a podcast network. I've joined a few, but only a few of them are, I consider quality networks. Some of them, it's just a lot of spam questions. And so, yeah, all the things that Toby say are worth taking notes. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So what we're going to do, and for those of you that are watching us live, you don't get to hear the interview. You'll have to actually listen to the podcast, but we've got an interview with Tori Nelson, Roe Schwartz, Jennifer Anderson from KidNuz.org, KIDNUZ. KidNuz is a widely popular daily podcast created by four veteran TV journalists determined to give kids a newscast of their own. It's 6.5 minutes long, chock full of daily top stories, all told in a kid-friendly, fun, fresh, and nonpartisan way. KidNuz covers current events, sports, science, politics, and health, and stories about kids doing cool things. The team is on a summer hiatus, but we'll be back at the mic with a fresh episode on August 1st. In the meantime, listen in for how KidNuz got started and the impact it's having on listeners big and small. And again, their mission is to engage kids in current events, encourage critical thinking, and spark meaningful conversations. Now, Mike did this interview, so we're going to cut to that, and then we'll be back to wrap things up. Again, to those of you live, you have to go listen to the podcast.
So today we got Tori Nelson and Roe Schwartz here from KidNuz. How are you guys doing today?
I'm very good. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Good, Mike. Nice to be with you.
Yeah. And ironically, Tori just got here in the same area I live. So that's kind of ironic.
Yeah.
Very cool. So you guys do a show called KidNuz, spelled
KIDNUZ.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I working for Blueberry, I'm used to weird spellings of common things. We couldn't afford the E's on our domain, so that's how that worked out. But anyway, so you guys are podcasting with us here at Blueberry, and we always like to hear how you really got started in podcasting, and what was that journey like?
I'll start off. We started, there were four of us who kind of were the original founders. We all worked together at KTVU in the San Francisco Bay Area. So we had various roles at the TV station there. And one of the founders named Stephanie Kelmar had young children. This was about 5-6 years ago, and they got interested in the news. So she was very excited to share with them what was going on in the world. But she got really tired every time they, you know, came in the kitchen for breakfast in the morning. She'd have to turn over the front page of the New York Times because the news is pretty traumatic for kids. So she started looking for a resource that would have, you know, appropriate kid-friendly news that would be interesting for young children. And she couldn't find anything. So she approached Ro and had this idea. And then they approached me and we then approached our fourth founder, Kim, and kind of took off from there.
Okay, very good. Now, how does this work? Do you have different hosts or do you guys all sort of take turns or is that how does that work?
Well, if you've heard my voice, Mike, you know that nobody wants my voice on the radio because I have a Jersey accent. So I'm strictly behind the scenes. I was an executive producer at KTVU, so I handle the editorial side and most of the story selection and you know, anything that deals with the writing or the editorial side kind of falls on me. And Tori and Kim do all the hosting because they are the professionals in front of the camera and the microphone.
The talent. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Of which I have none. So, yeah.
There you go. Yeah, we kind of do that here. We've got a producer that basically she takes care of a lot of looking up stuff for our company shows. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it works out pretty good. And, you know, she occasionally co-hosts. So I would encourage you to get on the mic once in a while, Ro. Your voice isn't bad.
Yeah. Hey, thank you.
So we got Jennifer joining us here.
Hey.
Right in the middle of the interview here. So how you doing, Jennifer?
Apologies for just jumping in now, but
yeah, so you're one of the founders as well. We were just talking about how you guys got started and got together.
Jennifer is our creative director, and she makes us look, everything we do, she makes it better.
Ah, very good.
Yes.
Yeah, we, you know, like I said, the Blueberry Pro team here makes us sound smarter. That's what I always say. So, well, that's why I told you before we recorded that we do edit. So very, very good. So you're a daily newscast during the school year or whatever.
Yeah, an extended school year. But yes, every day, Monday through Friday, we go live at 7 a.m.
Oh, yep. Nice. And, you know, how has it been going? I mean, you know, I'm privy to your stats, but I'm not going to share those with anybody. But, has that been pretty successful? How is it distributed? I know you're, you know, normal podcasts, but do you have any other type of distribution to the kids?
Well, we do. We send out daily emails, but most of the people who listen just log into the podcasts, you know, either by Apple or Spotify or Stitcher. And, you know, I have to say it was, you know, obviously initially slow going when we first started just over 4 years ago. It was early June 2018 when we launched. But we've had pretty steady growth. And then it really took off just over 2 years ago with the pandemic and a lot of homeschooling. And so we have a pretty even split between teachers and parents who listen. But with homeschooling for teachers, it was just a really good resource to be able to tell the kids what was going on in the world, again, in a way that was appropriate for them and, you know, that would inform them and educate them and entertain a little bit also. So, and it's just continued to grow, which is enormously gratifying.
Yeah, like I said, I seen your stats. You are doing pretty good when it comes to podcast distribution. So how are the kids? Have you got any feedback from the kids?
Well, that's the most rewarding part of this, I have to say. We get emails daily from parents, teachers, and kids themselves telling us that we're the best part of their day, and they now know what's going on in the world, and we give them the news, and it's not scary, and, you know, we give them the news in a kid-friendly way, and they send us emails that are equally kid-friendly and just very appreciative, and the same can be said of the parents and teachers. They point to different things that they like in the podcast, but I have to say that the feedback that we get is what keeps us going.
Okay, and do you guys do a video version of any sort? No, okay.
We do not. We are strictly a podcast and for a reason. Well, lots of reasons, but the primary reason is because there's so much, kids are on their screen so much now, we wanted to give them something that didn't involve a screen, that just was for their mind, you know, the imagination and their mind, and they can imagine the stories playing out as we tell it without without us prompting them with visuals.
And we do, for accessibility reasons, we want everyone to be able to access this. So we do put our episodes up on YouTube so that there are the closed captioning. As well as transcripts.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got something coming that you might have to utilize. I'll talk to you about that when we're done recording. But we have something for accessibility coming that'll be a real game changer in the industry. We've never, you know, nobody else is doing it yet, so we'll see. But very good. And do you get much traction on YouTube?
I honestly can't tell you. I don't know if Tori does. I don't know what our YouTube stats are. Mm-hmm. Just our audio stats.
Right. Well, that's usually good enough. And like I say, the closed captioning piece may be something that we'll be able to do for you coming up. So that'll be good. What has happened because of your podcast? Have you done, you know, have you gotten any opportunities that you wouldn't have normally had or anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, this was, you know, for me, kind of a post-retirement project, if you will, and, you know, a way to stay involved with the news, but with a little more flexibility, and still stay involved with some friends and kind of utilize the brain power a little bit. And I have to say, I've just been pleasantly surprised how much of a success it's become. I've learned a lot of new skills, you know, because I was in front of the camera for a long time, or in front of the microphone, and, you know, didn't really need to worry too much about the technical side of things. But, you know, as the, you know, person who does, you know, the bulk of the recording and adding sound effects and, you know, editing and uploading. And so,
right.
So I've definitely learned quite a few new skills. And honestly, a new appreciation for startups and how much hard work it is to, you know, and we're a nonprofit. So, you know, kind of managing that aspect of it, kind of the business aspect of it also is very challenging. But, you know, again, kind of an opportunity to learn something new and to grow a bit.
Okay. Do you guys monetize in any way as far as, you know, trying to cover expenses or whatever? Or is it done on donations? Or how are you guys getting that done?
You know, for the most part, donations are keeping us going. They're covering all our expenses. It's not enough to pay salaries to our staff, but we have a very dedicated group of individuals who are passionate about the news and passionate about bringing it to kids. So just it, for us, it's been a huge success to have enough donations come in from teachers and parents that we could keep the lights on and the microphone humming. And we're hoping, and we do have, you know, we have some licensing projects in the works with a couple kids' educational toys that should help our revenue flow. And we're still waiting for that big corporate sponsor to come and swoop in and say how much they love us and they're going to fund us going forward.
There you go.
As Tori said, though, it's challenging. You know, it's challenging being a nonprofit, but we are adamant against ads inside our podcast. And we certainly don't want teachers to have to pay for it. So, you know, and because it is a passion project for us, we're quite happy to keep it that way.
Yeah, a lot of podcasters, you know, it is a passion project because, you know, a lot of them don't make enough to really cover the expenses, but that's, you know, but you get your word out and you get, you know, your mission accomplished. From what, you know, I've worked with, I forget who it was, must have been Stephanie. Yeah, I think she was the one that I helped set up all the technical stuff.
Right.
With Blueberry. And, you know, how have you found the technical, Tori? I know you're doing like editing or whatever.
Yeah, no, I mean, for the most part, it's been great. I mean, there were a couple little hiccups in the beginning, but, I mean, you know, now that it's familiar and comfortable, you know, it just, it's it's, you know, very easy, smooth sailing. And, you know, it's sometimes I have to do a battle with my laptop, which is more of a problem over a microphone. But yeah, as far as uploading to Blueberry, it's really been very simple. And I know, I mean, it feels like there's been a few updates, which honestly have made it even easier, so that I can preview a podcast after I've uploaded it. And I usually upload, you know, like 6 hours before it goes live. And then I like just to be able to preview, to listen and make sure I've uploaded the right one. And it's, you know, it sounds okay. And now, you know, I'm able to do that. And yeah, because like I said, we upload typically, you know, 5 days a week. So I could just easily click on the wrong one and, you know, upload yesterday's instead of the one for today. So yes,
daily show is a grind. It doesn't matter how short or long the show is. You know, I in my past I've attempted dailies and it's a grind, and good that you're sticking with it. And I mean, it sounds like you have a good team too.
Yeah. I mean, we try and spread it out a bit, and you know, so Ro does all the editing and she writes 3 days a week, and then I write one day and Stephanie writes another day, and then I was recording 4 days a week and Kim was recording one day, and we're kind of gonna, you know, adjust that a little bit when we come back on the air in August, and try and make it a little more evenly distributed. So, you know, but it really does work out. And it's just so important, I think, to, you know, to keep kids in informed and just try and make it a daily habit, at least, you know, 5 days a week. And our goal, you know, as we're all, you know, the four founders are journalists, I just feel it's so important to introduce children to journalism and to get them interested in following the news. Because I really feel so strongly that, you know, an informed population is a healthy population, and that you need to know what's going on in the world. But at least for children, you want to introduce it rather gently, because a lot of the news going on is rather, you know, scary or traumatic or boring or confusing. And so, you know, we try and, you know, if you know, we don't tackle really horrible topics, obviously. I mean, like school shootings or
right.
You know, overtly violent things. But, you know, we've talked about the election. We talked about January 6th. We talk about Black Lives Matter in a very, you know, with kid gloves. And as Rose says, very broad strokes. And then the idea is that if the adult listening with a child, you know, whether it's the parent or the teacher, wants to go deeper, wants to have a more in-depth conversation, we've at least opened a door for them to do that so that they can approach these topics. And if they don't feel the child's ready, they can just keep that door closed and move on to the next story. But we've worked so hard to build the trust of the adults so that they feel confident that we're not going to bring up inappropriate topics. And, you know, we get feedback all the time that we really are right on the mark, you know, that we've managed to accomplish that goal. So that's very important to us.
Like I said, I sampled a couple of episodes just to, you know, get the feel for what you guys do. And you're definitely doing it in a way that doesn't scare people. Like you turn on in my case, I used to watch the NBC Nightly News, and I started calling it the Nightly Scare. Because it just seems like that's all that they want to put on is stuff that's going to be scary. And, you know, myself, I don't even like that. So,
well, you know, the old saying was if it bleeds, it leads.
Right.
So, sure. And we wanted to give kids something that they would find interesting, tell it in a way that they find it interesting, but also that parents never, ever have to worry about what we're going to cover. As Tori said, you know, we may cover a tough topic, but if we're going to do it, it's in a way that is straight down the middle and not scary, so that we never have to have someone say, I didn't know that was coming and you should have told us, you know, because right. I used to dive for the dial in the car when my kids were in the car because something would come on I didn't want them to hear. And I want parents, we all want parents, when they tune in, to know that from top to bottom, whatever we are relaying to these kids is safe for them to hear. And as Tori said, sometimes the topics may be a little bit over their head, but they'll never be off-putting. So the parent can ignore it and move on. And if the kid has questions, then they can choose how they want to deal with it. But like January 6th, that was a big issue. You know, how do we cover that? How do we possibly cover it? And there was no choice not to cover it. It was too big. And these kids were going to hear about it someplace. So that was tough, but we found a way to cover it. And we got a lot of positive feedback that we nailed it, you know, that it was an event that needed to be covered, but we didn't. We are completely nonpartisan. So we just struck a tone that apparently resonated and people felt very comfortable with. So
I think mainstream journalists need to start taking more of that tack. So that's good. You know, it's, you know, I say sometimes, you know, that the news now, they tell you what to think instead of what happened, you know, and I'd rather just know what happened and then I can figure out what to think about it.
And that's exactly right. And that's how we approach the stories, that we tell kids either what's going to happen because we know there's an event coming up or what has happened, but we never tell them how to think about it. That's the parents' job.
Yep.
They can spin it any way they want. It's not our job to do that. And we wouldn't want to anyway. We want the kids to think about the stories and have questions, and then their parents can fill in all the gaps.
We also have other support materials that accompany the podcast, not each episode, but you know, we have a resource center that really are extended links or extended topics for parents and teachers alike, as well as, you know, the quiz at the end, or we have a week in review quiz, which is an interactive quiz on the website. Also, our blog will often bring in experts of a certain area to co-write or to author and get the byline on the blog about a certain topic. So things that, like Ro was saying, we might not cover on that podcast episode, there still might be helpful tools on the website for grown-ups to use to have the conversation.
So you're doing blog posts as well as podcast posts, being, you know.
Yep.
All right, cool. So there's more info at the website when people have, you know, need a little deeper on certain things, I'm sure.
Yep, we also have a teacher's lounge, which there are extra materials in there. We do a weekly word search.
We have our Noodler worksheet.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to think of.
Yeah. So the Noodler worksheet, this, and a lot of these things, you know, have come from people who have reached out to us. And one of them is a former teacher and now a professional educator. And so he's like, you know, you should do this worksheet where you get kids, you know, you talk about a story you mentioned and then, you know, ask some more questions to really encourage critical thinking. And we're like, well, that's really outside of our bandwidth. And so he offered to do it. So he puts together now once a month this, we call it the Kid News Noodler, to kind of noodle over, you know, questions. And that's been very well received also, just as a way to encourage more critical thinking about, you know, some of the news stories. Like, well, what would you do if you were in this situation? Or do you think this was the right thing to do? And it's nice to kind of have some ways to expand just from this podcast and to offer more resources for our audience.
What age groups are you sort of targeting as far as who's the best listener for this?
The target age is really 8 to 12 or 13, but kind of along the lines of what you suggested before, that more mainstream broadcasters should follow our lead. I have a lot of parents who say, I listen because I'm tired of the partisan bias that's in all the newscasts. So our sweet spot is 8 to 12 or 13, but apparently we've got a lot of people outside that age range that are listening as well.
Yeah. That, you know, a lot of times podcaster will, you know, when I'm talking to other podcasters, they'll say, you know, I got a lot of people that listen to this that I wasn't even thinking would be listening to this show. And the funny thing is, you know, I have certain friends or people that I know that, you know, I'm not at all interested in the topic of their podcast, but it's entertaining and I'm learning stuff. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's part of what's going on here.
We've heard of English as a second language. You know, we're listened to, I mean, obviously primarily in North America, US and Canada, but we have, I think about 200 countries, you know, with some Kid News audience. And, you know, we Heard, you know, I've heard from someone in Japan, in Germany, in Dubai, Turkey. You know, so we have, you know, people all over. And also, I think some people, you know, with learning disabilities or like with reading challenges, because we have a written transcript, so they can read along as well as listen, and that's supposed to really help reading skills. Also, the other thing an educator told us once, and we hadn't really thought about it, but we do have this quiz at the end, and you know, kids are so competitive. They're so much fun. They really want to do well on the quiz. So it really encourages them to listen very carefully, just for, you know, the 4 minutes or so that we're doing those stories. And they get so excited, you know, because I ask a question and then play a little jingle and then give the answer. And teachers sometimes will pause and, you know, so the kids will have some more time to think about the answer. But they said it really helps children work on their listening comprehension and encouraging them to pay attention. And I think we could all use some of that, you know, to be honest, me as well, to work on our listening skills too.
Yeah, definitely. Gamifying things, especially with kids, is probably a good thing. Of course, you know, with me, you know, I'll watch Jeopardy simply because I just love to do trivia like that. And it's kind of fun to see how good you do against the players. So maybe you guys could do something like that.
Yeah, it definitely engages in a different way.
Oh, yeah.
That's for sure. And the other thing is it keeps them listening to the end. It's designed to be short in length so that it keeps everyone's attention, because it could be super engaging, but still kids of that age are going to start tuning out at a certain timestamp. But you and I spoke a couple weeks ago, and I was saying one of my proudest statistics is the quality listenership,
yes,
how people are staying yes. on.
I believe you were up in the 90s somewhere, I think.
Yeah, we are. I think it's like 93,
nice.
At least last I checked. So I'm proud of that. I think that's a good indicator.
Yeah, you're talking about our retention graph for those listening. In Blueberry Stats, if you're hosting with us, you get the advanced stats, which gives you a graph of how far somebody's been listening. So, and on average, you guys are over 93%. So that's pretty darn good.
And that's great too. If we aren't doing ads, we won't be doing ads. But for folks who are, I mean, there are a lot of people where the front, you know, there are certain time slots that are best for advertisers.
Mm-hmm.
And so having that quality listenership so consistent through there, it makes the value of the whole podcast richer.
It's always good to have people listening to the end. I know with this with this show here that we're on, Podcast Insider, people can usually tell when we're about to close it down. So I think that's maybe hurting us a little bit on getting people to the end, but that's all right.
Maybe you can try a quiz, Mike.
There you go. Yeah, we'll give you the quiz answer at the very end. Hey, that's an idea. That's an idea. Well, I'll pass that on to my partners in crime. So.
Okay.
Now, okay, I always have to ask the geeky question. Maybe you guys can't answer it. Maybe you can. What kind of equipment do you use to record, or software?
Well, yeah, I use Audacity as my recording platform. Kim, who does the other recording, she uses GarageBand.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Surface laptop, which I record on, and then I think it was called a Raspberry microphone. I was kind of cracking me up, but a Raspberry microphone, and I sent it to Blueberry. So I'm a big fruit fan. And but the nice thing is for me that I literally can take my show on the road. You know, I just take my laptop and my little microphone. It's about half the size of a coffee cup.
Nice.
And you know, little earbuds and internet and a quiet space to record for 10 minutes. And I'm good to go.
And Tori does take it on the road. She's recorded all over the world so far. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only time I had a problem was when I was in Beijing, China. There was a firewall and I couldn't upload.
Great firewall of China.
Yes. Yeah. Right after climbing up the Great Wall.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And we talked a little bit about the time doing, you know, a daily podcast. And, you know, it's a little deceptive because, you know, it's about six and a half minutes in length on average, but it could take about 8 hours a day combined labor.
Yeah, with everybody involved, sure.
And you know, when I do my recording, I only record for about 8 minutes in my closet, but then adding all the sound effects and editing, it, you know, takes another hour or so.
Yeah. One of the formulas we've used a lot of times for people that do everything themselves, it's a 4-to-1 ratio. So whatever length of show you have, just multiply that by 4 by the time you get everything ready to publish. And it might, you know, plus on top of that, you guys are writing transcripts and, you know, writing the stories themselves and doing the posts and all that. But, you know, like I said, you have a good team, it sounds like.
We have a great team, yes.
Yeah, like I said, I'm always into the geeky technical stuff, so I always have to add that on there. That makes everybody happy, at least me. It was great having you guys on here. If someone was interested in following you guys on social, do you do any of that?
Yes, we do. You can follow us at Kid News, kidnews.org. We are a nonprofit, so the .org is, if you're looking us up, just on the website. You can go to any place you get your podcasts and put in Kid News, and the note, it's KIDNUZ. We didn't say we were spelling podcast, a news podcast.
Right.
So yeah, you can visit us there.
Very and we're well. On Instagram, yeah. Facebook, Twitter, KID_NUZ.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. Well, I'll definitely, want, you know, encourage people to go listen and see what you guys are doing over there. And like I said, congratulations. It sounds like it's working out really good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure, you know, if we say the stats, but I think we're closing in on 10 million downloads. And during the school year, at least 12,000-15,000 listeners a day. And if you multiply that by, you know, 20-25 kids in a classroom, you know, we're well over 100,000 listeners a day.
Right. Yeah. You're a little unique in that respect, because, you know, one download doesn't necessarily equal one person.
Yeah.
You know, so right. It's, you know, your audience is probably a bit bigger than what your stats show, but.
It's quite a bit bigger. Yeah,
yes.
It's anecdotal, but it's still it's a couple hundred thousand a day,
nice.
based on who's listening, and yeah, we're doing pretty good in that regard.
Oh yeah, for sure. So thanks for being on Podcast Insider. Appreciate you guys taking the time, and everybody have a good weekend, and we'll play this next week.
All right. Thanks, Mike, for doing that interview. Fantastic. Again, KidsNuz, news to grow on. Now, we did not have a question of the week, so I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here just a little bit, Joe. Do you have a podcasting question for me? And I really, you didn't know this was coming, so it's maybe hard to pull one out of the hat here.
I have so many. I swear that... Once I get off the show and do my podcasting thing, I'll have a bunch. But I would say, let's see, a question for podcasting. Well, okay. Well, I'm just starting my podcasting journey here. I have my mic and I have my my Zoom meeting. You know, I have all the tools I need. But I don't know if I'm missing anything. Just to start a podcast, because sometimes my cat would go in and then like the truck outside would, you know, make
pull by,
loud
yeah.
noise. So I saw Mike has some really cool stuff in his studio, like noise reduction mm-hmm. thing. I don't know if that is necessary. Like,
yeah.
Oh, okay. So maybe a better way to phrase this question, what are the must have for a podcaster on a budget? Not me, but like for people who are on the budget.
Sure. Microphone, something to record it into. That's really the minimum that you need to get started. Now, if you want to make your sound design to sound better, you know, make sure that, you know, this can be done without having to spend money. You can have sometimes just throwing a blanket on the floor, on a bare floor. If you have bare floors in your room you're recording in is enough just to kind of help deaden the echo a little bit, or, you know, just placing something that's going to absorb the echo of the sound around you. Again, you don't have to go out and spend money to do that. Some people record right in their closets, and that makes the best because you got all those clothes in there that's providing absorption of the echo.
But they record in their closet?
They record right in their closet. Now, for me, that is a little bit like,
seems a little warm in the summer.
Yeah, it might be, you know, and especially if your closet doesn't have an air conditioning vent. But I don't think I worry too much about external noise. It very rarely comes through unless someone's outside running a jackhammer or something or doing a weed whip. Okay. But I think if you just want to work on your sound design a little bit to get the sound of the room sounding richer, is a couple of well-placed blankets and maybe some pillows it looks kind of weird. Maybe roommates will come in like, what are you doing? And you'll have pillows around. But really that is some of the very simplest and non-expensive things you can do to really improve your sound. And then when you really get to the point where you're growing your show, you can kind of do what I've done. I've got sound absorption panels here in this room. Now, I went to great expense to do that, but you don't need that many. The main thing is to keep the echo down. And oftentimes, believe it or not, the screen in front of you causes as much echo as anything else. So backing up from the monitor just a little bit will help that reflected sound wave coming back into your microphone. So thanks for asking the question. I put you on the spot there. So we're going to wrap the show up here. And normally Mike and I trade off on this, but if you've got a question you'd like us to answer on the show, drop an email to mike@blueberry.com. That's blueberry without the E's. Audio, text, or video, we may use it. You can also post a question on the Blueberry Podcasting Facebook group. And of course, the best place for support with Blueberry product services are ticket system at blueberry.com/support. Tickets give the whole team access rather than direct emails or calls. And we've been coming to you this week for the new media production studio in Coldwater, Michigan. And we've been coming from Cho's office in her town and with the green screen effect and everything. Awesome. And of course, the show's been produced for the audio version. It'll be up by the Blueberry Pro production team at blueberrypro.com. Don't forget to fill out our listener survey. Many of you have been reacting to that. You will help drive our media kit results. So you'll see that instantly. Surveys.blueberry.com/podcast insider. And of course, if you're a Blueberry podcaster, get your listener surveys going. You can always schedule one-on-one with me, hosting customers only. Email todd@blueberry.com. You can schedule a tech checkup with Mike. Not this week. Mike's out on vacation. Hosting customers only. Email mike@blueberry.com. And of course, you can send your podcast sticker and a self-addressed stamp envelope, and we'll send you a Blueberry care package. That mailing address is in the show notes. Mackenzie takes care of that and gets that out. If you don't have a sticker, just send us a self-addressed stamped envelope. We'll send you something back anyway. But Cho, how did it feel to be on your first Podcast Insider?
That is super exciting. Yeah, I love it. I want to come back here again with maybe more content that could help podcaster, maybe focusing on growing on social media. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. We're thinking of doing an Ask and You Ask, We Answer stories series on Instagram. So if you want more, you know, professional support and questions, you might reach a support team. But if you just want to interact and see what other people are asking, or if you have a question your own, you can absolutely go on our Instagram or TikTok to shoot us something. So that's all I got. Thank you for having me today.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. And everyone who's been watching live, we are going to fade to black and we'll cut out of here. But everyone, thanks for watching live today. We definitely appreciate it. We'll see you next week back here on Podcast Insider.